Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. Once again, I'd ask you to keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special guest is Baca Getz. She's a Harvard-educated author of 30 children's books, including Remarkable Park, Let Your Finger Do the Mitzvos, and The Invisible Book. She also coordinates a Big Brother, Big Sister program for Jewish Community Services in Baltimore, Maryland. Her first published piece was a poem that appeared in McCall's magazine when she won a Junior McCall's contest as a 12-year-old. Years later, she was the editor of her high school paper and later on helped in coordinate and contributed an essay to the anthology Women Look at Biology, Looking at Women, while at Harvard. This became a text for many women's studies courses nationwide. Her writing has since then and up until now almost exclusively been aimed at the religious Jewish population. Being interviewed twice on the Zen Brenner radio show in New York, the most popular Orthodox Jewish radio show, What Do You See on Purim? A fun way for toddlers to learn vocabulary. It teaches toddlers about the holiday of Purim with a bright and colorful word and picture book. Children will learn basic vocabulary while becoming familiar with the objects and concepts that are unique to this special holiday. It's available from Judaica Press and in local Jewish bookstores. And with that said, I'm going to introduce Baca. Baca, once again, how are you tonight?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. I wondered if we could explore your journey a little bit before we get into your books and talk a little bit about your spiritual background and your Jewish heritage.
Okay, great. Let's see. I would say that I started searching spiritually when I was around 12 years old. I think a lot of people get a new awareness of life around that age when adolescence starts.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was searching for more meaning to life. I couldn't believe that just the day-to-day life was all there was. There had to be more.
I remember thinking,
what were you going to say?
Oh, I just said I totally agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, is this it? You know, we just get up, we eat. People go to work and make food to eat and live the next day for what? Like, what's behind all of this? So I started searching and into many different religions. I was born Jewish, but Judaism didn't seem particularly spiritual to me, the Judaism that I grew up with. So let's see, I was searching into different branches of Buddhism and Christian Science in particular. I was searching in many different ways on different spiritual paths. At one point, I think when I got involved with Christian Science, I started feeling that we're capable of everything. Like with God's help, we can do anything. And suddenly I started feeling, okay, like God has an infinite mind. I can tap into it. And I started doing really well in school. Then my grades started to pick up, so I ended up going to Harvard. And there, at Harvard, I still was searching. And I remember, like, one pivotal time in my life is that there was a, I call it I wrote about this. It's called the Garden Party at Harvard. I was going to this party where there are certain clubs that you just kind of don't get into unless you're like a preppy type, which I so wasn't. And I got invited to this party. I remember there were Kennedys there, Moynihans, Rockefellers, all these people, like the children of the most famous people. And it was like this glorious, glorious day. It was sunny and beautiful. And all of a sudden, with all the little tea sandwiches and the beautiful, everything laid out in a gorgeous way, all of a sudden, the clouds started filling up and it came a downpour, a huge thunderstorm. Yeah. And I said to myself, wait a minute. All these powerful people couldn't do anything to stop the rain from coming down? That was my thought. It was like, wait a minute. I got here to the top of the mountain, and there's nothing up here. Like, where's the power to do anything? Like, there's something greater than this. I don't know. Somehow that party was a turning point in my life of realizing all that achievement isn't where it's at. So, I kind of got to where I wanted to be, and then there was nothing there at the top of the mountain. That's how I felt. So I kept searching, and I wanted to be a psychiatrist. I went on to medical school after that. And I was basically getting more and more desperate and miserable and wanting to find out what is the meaning to life. There in the medical school, everybody was really getting stoned all the time. It was like, this is what everybody did, which was not what I was doing at Harvard. It was like kind of different. Everybody was just into escaping. And I was feeling more and more lost. And I ended up going that summer to Israel, and in Israel, I remember I had a friend. He had become an observant religious Jew, and I met with him, and I said to him, you know, I'm studying to be a psychiatrist, and I'd like to know what's the meaning to life. And he said, I want to be able to help my patients. And he said, don't worry about your patients. You have to find out for yourself what's the meaning to life. So come, I'll take you to these different places. They're called yeshivas, where people, older people, like in their 20s, you know, not like little children, are learning the basics of Judaism. So I went and I started going to these classes of people like me in my 20s. And it was really funny because when I walked into the first class, I didn't understand a lot of the words they were saying because they were in Hebrew. They were explaining things in Hebrew, and I didn't know much. So, and yet still, something about it felt like it was the missing puzzle piece that I needed in my soul. And I don't know why, I just felt like a tremendous yes with my soul, like this is what I was searching for. Well, I mean, I had found pieces of truth in all different religions that I had been looking into before, but it never felt like the perfect puzzle piece, the way it fit when I just came there and started listening to these classes. So I took a detour in life. I took a year's leave of absence from medical school, and I devoted myself to studying full-time in these spiritual yeshivas. So that's what I did. And I felt like I really wanted to devote my life to this. And I ended up, after a few months of study, I met a man there who was on the same path as I was. He also, in his 20s, started looking into the depths of Judaism and became an Orthodox Jew as well. So a few months after that, we got married, and we ended up living in Israel for 11 years. And then when I started having children, I started writing. And I began to write. I wrote about my story also, but I also started writing children's books because I wanted to write the books that I wish I had read as a child that would have taught me about the spiritual, the answers to the questions that I was always asking and I didn't have answers to. So that's what I do with a lot of my time, and it feels like my soul is singing. like it's I feel so fulfilled in life and that I'm doing my mission in life. That's how it feels. And I write about the deepest type of things in the most simple way possible. So all my books are writing about the deepest truths of life, but in a way that a child as young as 2 or 3 even could understand them.
Wonderful.
And that's what, yeah, that's what I feel is my purpose in life, and that's what I've been doing.
Well, it seems to me that at a basic level, we're all children, and all yearning for the answers to life's mysteries, be it spiritual or be it on a more general plane. And what I've come to see for myself is that it is the simple explanation, the explanation to a child, that we're all craving, and yet we tend to complicate things so much in our searching that a lot of us end up coming up on empty. And it certainly does not sound like that's what happened to you. And I'd just like to ask you a few questions about your journey and then hear about some of these simple answers to perhaps age-old questions that you pose and talk about your books. Now, when you talk about the missing piece, are you talking about returning to your roots or converting to Orthodox Judaism, or was there some other epiphany that was the missing piece?
I feel that as a child, I wasn't given the spiritual nourishment that I craved. And I feel that all of us have like an emptiness within us, and we fill it with addictions and all types of other things because we can't handle that pain of the emptiness.
Yes.
And and it makes sense. Addictions make sense because they're a way to soothe the pain, because otherwise the pain is constant. And we really can't manage that way. So if we don't have what spiritually nourishes us, then addictions make sense. And that's why they're so plentiful, because people don't have the spiritual nourishment that they're craving.
Yeah. Well,
I think I forgot the question, but I went off on that.
All right, but you had it right in a direction that's right up my alley.
Okay.
I have quote unquote suffered from many addictions, and I use the word suffer kind of tongue in cheek, because I think that it is. Sometimes that's a pathway that we need to go through to hit a bottom where we realize that what we've been doing externally or doing to ourselves, doing to our bodies, our minds, our psyches, leaves us coming up on empty and still searching for more. And then we hit a bottom and say, you know, what's wrong with this picture? This addiction's not helping me. It's making me feel worse. And there's so many ways that we can attach ourselves to outer conditions, externals, whether it's something like drugs, it can be sex, it can be relationships, it can even be religion, too, for some people, compulsive behaviors.
Right.
And any of those things that I've attached myself to have left me feeling empty. And so I think that's a perfect pathway for you to go down, and one that I imagine many people can relate to, because there's so many ways we try to fill ourselves up from the outside, and it's an inside job, as I see it.
Yes, we don't recognize that we're souls. That's the thing. We're souls in human bodies.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I guess the question that I had for you, and maybe you've answered it and I just didn't hear it, and that is, you talked about there was a missing piece for you that you discovered when you went to Israel and were in the yeshivas. Can you address what that was?
Yeah. So what I mean by the missing piece is the nourishment that my soul needed. And we're all made, you know, very similarly, like you said, we're all spiritual adventurers, but we're all unique. Within us, each of us has a uniquely beautiful light within us. And,
yes.
And the fulfillment that we need is uniquely different and beautiful. So as there are similarities, tremendous similarities, and yet we all have unique differences. So although the other religions have a lot of truth that I have derived from them too, for me, as a Jewish soul, I needed a Jewish nourishment. And that's what I finally was able to get. And I had been given a Jewish nourishment growing up, but it wasn't on the deep level that I needed. The depths were not unfolded to me, and it was too superficial, so it wasn't sustaining me.
It sounds like you just didn't make the connection, and that at some level when you went to Israel, you started certainly connecting to other souls, and to me, that's where I find my God self, is in connection with other souls reflecting the love light of the divine, where I begin to realize that I too am divine, as is all of creation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's called the Torah, is the wisdom. It's the guidebook for life that the Jewish wisdom is in the Torah. And what the Torah means is light. So I needed that light and that wisdom in order for me to go on the path of fulfillment that I needed. in other words, when I was having a discussion with somebody when I was on the pathway of questioning and wanting to know what the meaning to life was, the person that helped me said, "Well, what do you think is the meaning to life?" And it was really funny because I had been asking that question to people for years and I'd been given all types of answers, but nobody had ever asked me that question back. And it was the first time I said, "Oh, what do I think?" And I just started thinking, and I said, "I don't know, I guess to be good." And so this person said to me, "To be good. Well, I'll tell you something. Judaism gives you more ways to be good than any other religion, like more specifics, more details about how to be good than any other religion." And I was like, "Huh? I don't even like it." No, I said, "This doesn't interest me at all because I'm like a big picture kind of person." But, the weirdest thing is, this person said to me, "Okay, well, just study it. See what you think when you study all these different guidelines about how to be good." It intrigued me for some reason. I don't know why, because I'm not that type, but I just started studying. And so I found that the discussion wasn't a very mystical discussion that we had at all. And that gave me an opening, however, to begin to study the Torah. And it was helpful to me because I like to do spacey type of thinking about things, but the Torah's guidelines gave me the strings to tie me, like with a kite, you know, it's like the strings that tie me onto earth so that I could connect with the divine source in a way that's tangible. And I needed that in order to be more grounded as a person and have specific mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, it means connections, a way to connect.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. I never knew that's what it meant. Well, that's exactly the picture you were painting for me as you spoke. I was thinking in terms of the structure of the Torah, the wisdom contained within, provided a grounding for you, and you came up with those very words. So you were painting a word picture that I could relate to even before you got to that final statement. I'm just curious, along the way you talked about studying other religions and traditions, and that you found kernels of truth in them all. What were some of the commonalities for you?
Well, in Buddhism, the idea that there's a spark of the divinity in all of us, and that's definitely a Jewish thought as well, but I first discovered it in Buddhism, and I practice yoga and meditation every day, and I feel that that's a very important part of my spiritual development as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the traditions that we have is that Abraham gave these gifts to Hagar, who later became Keturah, these gifts to the East, into the Eastern religions. I think there's been a big pull of Jewish people toward Eastern religions because certain practices got lost from Jewish practice that are found in Eastern religions, and I think has a lot to do with like types of wisdom that need to be brought back and integrated. So within other religions, we can find things that treasures that we can reintegrate back to make our practices more whole.
Hmm. Well,
did that answer the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no. It's yeah. It really makes it quite clear to me. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about your books, and then maybe I'll have an idea of what else I had wanted to ask you. What book would you like to talk about first?
I think I'd like to speak about the invisible book.
it's
not invisible.
I love the title. In a sense, we're all invisible, and yet we have these visible forms in the physical realm. But
yes.
Yeah, please talk about it.
Okay, actually, could I just read it? It's kind of short. I mean, but
oh,
sure,
okay, absolutely.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
There are so many things I cannot see, but still I know they are there. I take a deep breath. And what's in my cheeks? That's right, invisible air. I can't see electricity that makes a light bulb light. I've never seen any gravity, but without it, we'd be in flight.
Mm.
What moves the clouds across the sky? Invisible wind as it goes by. All the feelings that people feel, they can't be seen, but they are real. And if you stare and look and blink, you still can't see the thoughts, I think. You can't see what makes magnets stick. That's why it is quite a trick. You can't see whispers. You can't see yells. You can't see any sounds or smells. Invisible things just like to hide, like my soul deep inside. It's the part of me that makes me strong and glad to do good deeds all day long. Here's a question just for you. See if you know this one too. Who makes babies and flowers grow? Who makes the whole world run just so? I can't see God. That may be, but look what he does for you and me. So that's the whole book.
Oh, that's a gem. That's beautiful. Is it illustrated?
Yeah, it's illustrated so adorably. The point of this book is that people say, how can I believe in God? I mean, that's what I used to say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the proof, you know? But yet we believe in all these invisible things. We believe in all these things that we can't see, including time. Yeah, including time, including George Washington. None of us ever saw George Washington, but we believe, you know. I mean, there's just so much we believe in that we've never seen. But we see the effects of all these things, and it's the same with God. So I'm just trying to show that it's very possible to believe in invisible things, and we're doing it all the time. That's
Well, you know, maybe that will wake some adults up who want proof that there is God, and yet they come to accept these other things as realities.
Exactly.
It's amazing what is unseen in this life that we take for granted or acknowledge is real, and yet a lot of people say, where's God in all of this?
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's just this genius that's beyond comprehension, as I see it, that is so powerful and everywhere present and all-knowing. And it's hard for me to conceive of a life without some kind of relationship with a power greater than myself. It would have no meaning for me,
right.
You know.
Right, and what do we think? After we die, that's it? I mean, that to me is so ridiculous. That we've lived this whole life and then nothing. You know, that's it. So.
Yeah. Like, what was it all about? You blink your eyes and then you're gone. You know, and
that's it. We just disintegrate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that
make
any sense?
No, it doesn't make any sense. And there's so many things in this world that don't make sense that we accept as part and parcel of the facts of life, and yet we can't accept something as basic as the eternal nature of the soul.
Right.
That I don't quite grasp. But there are a lot of doubting Thomases in the world, and perhaps that book will help them, whether they're children or adult children.
God willing.
So that book helps provide, through you, some of the answers that you've been seeking as a child.
Yes, exactly. I'm writing the books that I would have wanted to read as a child, exactly.
Great.
Yes.
Well, what else would you like? What other books would you like to talk about?
Okay. I have one here. It's called Hashem's Candy Store, but recently, I got 8 books that were accepted by Saturn Moon's Press, and these books will not only be for Jewish children; they'll be for children all over, every type of child. And so then it will be called God's Candy Store when the new book comes out in 2016. And I can share with you some of the wisdom in this. And this is based on, there was an email going around, a very popular email about God's Pharmacy. So based on that, I wrote this book, and also based on teachings from a rabbi that I admire very much, I put all that wisdom together into this picture book to teach about healthy eating and how important it is to eat close to the source, straight from God, because it has the most powerful energy in it, the food that we get straight from God. So, would you like me to read from this little book?
Sure, of course.
Okay, great. What do you think you would see if you opened the door? What would you find on the shelves in God's candy store? Round red cherries and blueberries. They're bite-sized candy from God. So are grape green or purple? Oh, it's not going to rhyme. I have to change that line because it's going to be saying God. Well, take another look at them. When fruits are at their brightest, that's when they're best to take. We're ripe, the colors call, so you won't get a bellyache. Like, you know, God made them so, they only become bright and beautiful when they're ready for us to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And, this banana here is so much fun to eat. Peel off its yellow wrapper, and you've got the greatest treat. Guess who wrapped it up for us? Who made fruits big and small? God made each the perfect size for us to eat them all. It's easy to eat an orange. You know how they're like snack size. Each fruit is like made for an individually packaged thing so that one person could eat it, which is amazing. It's easy to eat.
That's amazing.
I know, we don't even think about this. It's easy to eat an orange, an apple, or a pear. Just pack one in your bag and take it anywhere. Want a pink and fuzzy peach? How about a purple plum? So many yummy choices, we're seeing only some. And there are treats like cantaloupes, if you and a friend are sitting. When one is cut into two halves, it's just perfect for splitting. See, like a cantaloupe is made for two people.
Right.
And a watermelon is big and heavy.
That's made for more than two.
Exactly. It's for a whole large group to eat. So when summer comes around, together we share this treat. Nothing is as bright and sweet as a watermelon's red. Why would someone want to choose a candy bar instead? In God's candy store, everything's not just delicious. Besides being yummy, the food's also nutritious. Lots of God's candy show us what they're best for. They look like the part they help, in case we are not sure. Do you see this carrot slice? You're in for a surprise. There's a clue inside that veggie. It looks like and helps our eyes. You know, if you slice a carrot, you see it has the pupil and the iris. It has all, right on the slice, you could see an eye. The walnut looks like a little brain with lots and lots of folds. And you would never guess how much brain-helping stuff it holds. How about this celery stick? It looks like a bone that's long. Eat some crunchy celery to help your bones grow strong. A juicy red tomato slice especially helps which part? The tomato has four sections, and so does your red heart. Even these little kidney beans look just like you'd expect. Think they're good for kidneys? You're absolutely correct. Hashem lovingly put directions on the outside of most foods. Brightly colored means they're ready right when you're in the mood. But foods like nuts and raw potatoes, we cannot eat right away. Crack me open first, or cook me, are what their dark outsides say. Hashem made so many healthy treats. God made so many healthy treats. It's great to be aware that every single one of them was made with special care. Visiting God's candy store is a joy we can get each day. Thank you for the treat, God, is all that's left to say. So that's basically that book, and it gives you a sense of just all the wisdom that is packed into the fruits and vegetables that we eat.
Well, it also had some metaphors in there too. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about how, you know, you get a bellyache if things aren't ripe yet. I was thinking of that as being a metaphor for our souls and how our souls develop as we grow in wisdom. And perhaps it's when we're released from our bodies that they're ripe.
Wow.
I don't know, but that was the image that came to me as
very
you were talking.
Really interesting. I believe that we're here in this world. I mean, this is what I've been taught, and this is what I learned in the yeshiva, which I loved right away when I heard it, is that we're here to get the most pleasure possible in this life.
I believe that, too.
Oh, wow.
Well, I believe that life is meant to be about joy and abundance.
Yes.
And that, you know, so many people seem to believe that for whatever reason, that we're supposed to divest ourselves of all our possessions to lead a godly life. And granted, some spiritual masters may have done that to teach us that there are things more important than things?
Right.
Yet, you know, it is, it's an abundant life, and there are a lot of New Age ideas out there that talk about things like the secret and the law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that we all can attract this abundance to ourselves, and I believe that all starts right with the power of positive thinking, and that's what I believe God is all about, only all things positive.
Yes, and even all the difficult challenges that come in our lives, it's all for an ultimate good purpose.
I think that's a very important point that you made right there, because a lot of us tend to judge things that have been painful as something that's bad, and
right.
to me, when you paint pictures as good and bad or black and white, you're thinking in dualistic terms, and you're not looking at the greater good.
Right.
And to me, God is the greater good, and if we're going to accept God in our lives, we need to accept it all and to be grateful, because it's part of the shaping process. It's what sculpts us. It's what sculpts
right.
our souls.
Yeah. And the self-destructive impulse that we all have, it's something that we get to exercise to overcome it throughout our lives. It's something that we have, but through exercising the positive abilities that we have, we can overcome our self-destructive impulses, which are also strong, but they were given to us as a benefit in order
mm-hmm.
to develop our spiritual muscle.
Well, we always have choice in every matter. We can either choose something that's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
right.
The question that I would pose to people is, why would you choose anything that's negative? And yet we do that, all of us do that from time to
right.
time, and some of us
right.
do it an awful lot.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
it doesn't make any sense. And that's what I like about your stories and what I like about what you were talking about earlier, and that is simple truths, keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes sense, then that seems to be the pathway to follow. If it doesn't make sense, why would you do it? That's the question I have.
Right. Well, we do things to avoid pain. Like, you know, that's what we
yes.
both discovered that, and that's how we get into things like addictions, to avoid.
Yes.
Right.
And yes.
and you know, we can get trapped in those cycles unless the spiritual light shines through. So both you and I, we're very, very grateful that this light has shined into our lives, and that we're
yes.
able to shine our light into the world too. It makes every day full of pleasure, thank God.
Yes, but I think the beauty of what you're doing in helping illuminate young children is so that they don't need to feel that pain that drives them in
mm-hmm.
negative seeming directions, whereby they may fall prey to addictions or behaviors that don't serve their soul. I say, why does anybody need to go there if they are taught truth
right.
early on?
Exactly, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, that's exactly my goal, to instill
mm-hmm.
these skills. Like, one of my books is called The Happiness Box also, and I want to instill the skill of how to choose happiness from the earliest ages possible. And I think you know that secret. It's about gratitude. It's about this book is about a box. The child goes inside the box, and they can only think happy thoughts inside the box. By the end of the book, when they can't find their box, they realize the box is in their brain, and they can always go into their box and always choose to think what they're grateful for, and
mm-hmm.
and to develop their happiness skills. Yeah.
Well, I think that's important, and from a number of perspectives, the two most important things that I gather from that are, first of all, coming back to choice, And then there's happy versus unhappy. And why would anybody choose something that on purpose that makes them unhappy? The choice is always there, and it seems that it starts at a thought level. And so I believe it's important to choose happy thoughts. And if our thoughts aren't happy, then perhaps we need to turn to actions that will generate feelings of happiness within us. I always maintain to reach for the next best thought, action, or feeling.
Yes.
And if we keep heading in that direction, we can't help but find more things to be grateful for and more things that will generate feelings of happiness, because there's nothing outside us that can do that. All of that comes from within and comes from God, so I believe. What do you think?
Exactly. We're all connected to God. We're all, like, in a sense, one huge soul. And God is the infinite amount of all our souls together and beyond. So we all have that divinity within us, that the aspect of divinity, that spark of the divine within us. And so, you know, it's awesome, because the barriers we see between us are really illusions. And we need distinctions in life. They're important in order for us to function in this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
But on the deeper level, we are all sharing spiritual truths.
Yes. Well, what else shall we talk about? Any other books that you want to talk about? You have 8 books coming out next year.
Right.
And I think that it would be wonderful to just plant a seed and have you come back when some of the books are out.
Oh, I'd love to. That would be great.
Yeah, this is a wonderful opportunity to get people to know you and know what you stand for and what your mission in life is, and to become acquainted with the deliciousness of your books. But it's probably a little frustrating to people that they can't get their hands on them right now.
Right now they're Jewish books, and they're online. They're on Amazon. They're all on Amazon. I mean, they're all on my author page, you know, so
okay,
all my books are available. But soon they will be not only Jewish books, and they will be, you know, for everybody. So
I understand.
Right.
I understand. Okay. Well, what is your website? And let's just list off some of the names of the books for people.
Oh, well, but right now what I use is my Amazon author page, because all my books are listed there.
Okay.
Right. And so another one I don't know I was going to tell you about is Because of a Smile. And this is the story of, you know, two boys, they're smiling, and how their smile spreads all around the world. And eventually some astronauts in outer space are saying, what are those sparks that are flying around? Oh, here goes. The astronauts far away out in a space station may wonder, what is that lighting every nation? The whole world seems to sparkle. Look, do you see? What's making that happen? How could it be? Circling round the world, stretching mile after mile, that's what can happen because of your smile. So like you were saying, it's the actions that spread this joy and the love all around the world, and it really does. I mean, you've seen it. This book details how one person smiles at another, that spreads to another, and it goes off in ripples and ripples around the world, like a butterfly's wings, you know, affecting the wind in China, you know. it's we don't even know all the ripples we're making, and that's what the mitzvahs do. That's what all our good deeds do, and that's what your radio program does. It's spreading out these wonderful spiritual vibrations, spreading this energy out as far as possible. We never know where it ends up.
Well, that's the thing. It is all energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's God energy.
And
where, there you go. Thank you, Albert.
Yes, exactly. That's it. He summarized it all in one, you know, just one phrase. That's it. Everything's energy. If anybody wants to see my author page, is Bracha Getz. It's Bracha, B-R-A-C-H-A, and Getz, G-O-E-T-Z, and all my books are listed there now. And then all these other books are coming out soon. So I think I have right now like at least 10 more books under contract, 10 or 12 books. So there'll be a lot more books coming out within the year, God willing. So anybody could find these books. I also have some safety books to protect children from predators, because that ruins so many lives. And
yes, it does.
Yeah, so this is something I brought into the Orthodox Jewish world. They didn't have any books on this subject, so I brought this out. But again, these books, I heard they're popular with everybody because they're really about a very important subject written in a really simple way that parents can feel comfortable reading to their children to protect children from predators. So I have two books like that. And another book that's coming out in a few weeks is called I Lost Someone Special. It's about how children, helping children with bereavement and helping children, how can they continue a relationship with somebody that they love that has passed away.
And oh, wow. I would love to hear about that. Tell me more.
Yeah, I give many examples of how the child can maintain a relationship with the parent by doing good deeds in their memory and many other actions that will keep their relationship going. And it also talks about how the person that passed away still is actually acting on their behalf as well, moving things around in the spiritual world to help the people they've left behind in love. So it's done in a very loving, comforting way for children to realize that the relationship with their loved ones continue on and on forever. That should be out by, in a few weeks, in December.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you can see I'm really enjoying filling the world with all this. Yeah.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about your journey toward becoming an author. We haven't covered that piece of the story. How did you decide to... Well, you've kind of given us a hint as to how you decided to write these books, but how did you decide to write, period?
Okay. Well,
and what was that journey like? What were the challenges?
Right. And well, one thing you've seen from the books that I've read is I tend to write in rhyme. I don't always write in rhyme, but it seems like Orthodox Judaism, it seems that the structure helps me to flow. So the structure of the rhymes, just like the structures of the guidelines in Judaism, helps my soul to flow. It's really interesting. So I rather than free verse, I really enjoy rhyming, and I was rhyming since I was a child. It just came naturally out of me like that. So I just remember writing as a fourth grader poems that were published. I was always doing this. So I just kept going, and when my children were young, I would sit outside in the playground with my notebook, and I just started writing books, and I was in Israel at the time, and I put one in an envelope, I sent it to America, and a few weeks later, I got back an envelope that my book was going to be published. I was like astounded. Oh my gosh, this is how you write a book. So ever since then, I wrote a few books when my children were young. And now that I have a whole bunch of grandchildren, the books are really flowing out of me. I just keep writing a lot, and I have a lot of little people serving as my inspiration to write about them, and as I see what their needs are, and I just keep writing. So that's basically how it goes.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. I know that to me, without inspiration, my writing has no meaning, no intrinsic meaning. And, I have a couple of little ones that have come into my life which are inspiring me. And I have a desire to someday write children's books, but right now I write books for adults. And, I find that, and I don't know how this is for you, but when I'm writing, it comes from another place. It doesn't come from my head. It comes through my heart. And I truly believe that I'm channeling truths that have been with us throughout the ages, because I've written about things that I haven't even learned in this life in a book that I'm working on with a minister who is co-authoring the book with me. And she would say to me, after I sent her my text, she'd say, "Right on." And I didn't have any knowledge of some of these things I was writing about. So to me, it definitely comes from another place, from a source that's greater than who I am, and I'm just an instrument or a channel, if you will.
Exactly. I go around to schools, and I do book readings for children, and I talk about the steps of being published and writing, and I tell them that the first step is just standing out in the rain, which is just letting the drops come from God into our brains, into our souls, and that's what we express. The first step, just like you said, it doesn't come just from us. It's gifts from God that we are expressing out into the world. And that's what I tell people, just be open to those gifts. And I also encourage children, don't be too serious when you're writing. Have an attitude of play, and that openness, that sense of openness, helps you to receive all the gifts that are all around us, to, ready to be received. So, you're standing out. I'm sorry.
I think that's so a wonderful way to look at life, too, is to just be open to the gifts that are all around us and to focus on those things that are fulfilling and to let the rest go by the wayside, because there's so many distractions in this life, some of which seem appealing but ultimately are unsatisfying. And so, it's all about balance and making healthy choices and discovering that what is healthy is actually fun, not just nourishing, it's fun. And,
joyful, exactly. It's the
greatest
pleasure.
And that's what God wants for us.
That's what?
That's what God wants for us.
Yes, exactly. We make life complicated, right?
Yes, we do.
we were put here to, we learned that God made us because God wanted to be a giver too. The one, He needed someone to give to. I don't want to say so. I don't usually always say that I don't want to anthropomorphize God in that way. But in the sense that what God wants for us is for us to experience the greatest pleasure possible. And so we make life complicated and we don't do that. But really, our days should be blissful, and that we experiencing the awesomeness of life every day. That's really how we're meant to be. But we get off track.
Oh boy, do we ever! Well, great philosopher Joseph Campbell talked about following your bliss, and that makes perfect sense to me, because if I'm going to find happiness in my life, I need to pursue my passions, things that fill me up, that bring me joy, that bring me to a place of bliss. And why would I make any other choice? It makes no sense. And yet I have.
Right.
And most people, I think, would agree that they have done that too. And yet I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that's necessary if we're taught young enough what our purposes, and it's about joy and love and peace and all things that are fulfilling.
Exactly. And we can, you know, through all this, we can decrease abuse in the world, you know, which brings so much pain. And all those things, you know, when children have abusive childhoods, it's quite an uphill battle to experience pleasure in life. And
yes, it is. And yet, you know, I think some of the most, if you will, tortured souls or people who've led the most tortured lives when they come out the other side,
right.
They have such profound wisdom.
Not
to say that their gifts are any greater than anybody else's, but their life experience, the totality of their life experience, when they come out the other side, their joy is almost magnified, if you will.
Beautiful.
It reminds me of that book that I can't remember the author, but it's about Michelangelo's life, called I'm blanking out, but it has ecstasy in the title and on the flip side of ecstasy, whatever that might be. I don't want to go there.
Right. So, and even the people where you can look at it and you say, but life is so unfair. Look at this person, and they didn't make it, and their life was too horrible, and look what happened to them. But we know this is not all there is. And if we didn't achieve what we had to, if we didn't fulfill our mission in this life, we're coming back again. And that's a Jewish belief as well, in reincarnation.
I didn't know that.
I know many people don't know that.
Well, no, I believe that's true. I didn't know that that was a Jewish belief.
Right, I know. There's so much
and
I didn't know.
And doesn't that make absolute sense?
Yes.
That if we don't fulfill our souls in this life, that we would get another chance?
Exactly. So.
Whoa,
so,
we're going to have to talk again. I want you to, just because I do so many shows and I'm not as organized as I'd like to be, I would like you to send me an email when one of your more generic books comes out.
Sure.
And let me know so that I can get you on the schedule again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a joy to have you today, and I wish you all good blessings. I believe, not just think, I believe with all my heart and soul that you are an angel in human form, and I do believe that angels walk in human form when they have found the light and walk in the light and walk the talk, if you will, and are here to teach wonderful lessons to children, be they children or adults, children who are yearning to be free. You know?
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for all that you're doing.
My pleasure. And thank you for everybody who's listening tonight, either live or on the podcast. And so once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united in a diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we just let it be. Have a great week and remember what you can realize. Please tune in on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and look for these shows podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on freespiritbroadcasting.com. Thank you, Bracha.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark. Every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, you can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.